From Montreal, the mecca of swing dancing, this is Swingonomics.
The satire radio podcast exploring the hidden side of all things swing. Download more Swingonomics podcasts at www.swingonomics.com.
It's something you can just feel. It's something others can see. It's chemistry. It's physical. It's primal. That's Pauline speaking about the alpha male phenomenon in swing. Now, Polymel's pretty famous around here for his sense of humor. But you sort of gotta wonder, every once in a while, could there be some grain of truth in his joking around?
Le mal alpha a pas besoin de montrer.
The alpha male doesn't need to show he's a male. Everyone sees it. His partner can tell where to go when he leads her. His partner knows when he wants to dance, just by the way he looks at her.
Lorsque le mâle alpha veut danser, parce que du simple regard qu'il va porter vers elle,
she instinctively knows that she must come right that instant and serve his every need.
Afin de assouvir tous ses besoins de danse. Je m'appelle Paul Emile.
I'm Paul Emile. Et je suis un mâle alpha. I'm an alpha male.
You're listening to Swingonomics, the satire radio podcast exploring the hidden side of all things swing. And we're your hosts, Karina Paris-Keeve and Didier Jean-François.
Today, the link between Darwin, evolution, and swing. The teenager in each of us, and the art of music and dance.
I'm not all that convinced by his theory. I mean, the alpha male? In dance? Come on.
I disagree. I mean, I think the guy's got a point. I've been teaching for more than 12 years now, and I see it all the time. For instance, why do you think a guy shows up to learn dance? Certainly not because he's fundamentally interested in the art form and its complexities. He wants to meet girls. And any time you look at a bunch of guys looking to meet girls, there's going to be one guy looking pretty good, got a nice suit on, and all the girls are going to want to dance with him. And then you've got another guy, equally good looking with a nice suit, but somehow, girls don't seem to want to dance with him. We know who the alpha male is now.
Okay, all right, but why is that specific to guys? Why don't girls behave this way?
Well, actually, Karina, it does happen with the girls too. Except it's a little different. The way in which it manifests itself. For instance, about the guys, it's a lot more about strength, appearance, height, let's say, dancing ability. And for the females, it's sometimes more about beauty, sensuality, having a nice dress on, and smiling. One familiar idea on this has been about the pecking order. And I think in swing dancing, it's something that I've seen many, many times, where if one girl asks a guy to dance at the exact same time as another girl asks the guy to dance, most often the guys will pick one of the two girls, and it will always be the same. Another example would be that some girls dance all night long when others don't, yet not necessarily because they are better dancers.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Men and women dance swing because that's just the Darwinian thing to do. While I still have my doubts about it, I decided to investigate a little. See, I'm not sure I buy all into this. The need to impress the leads, the need to dominate and rule, and the desire for the females to be protected. I think it's about the music. And the thing it invokes in us, and the innate human need for beauty in us. So I set out to investigate it. First stop, Quebec City, at Swing a Dance. My mission: discover just what exactly does drive follows and leads to this wondrous dance we call swing. The first dancer I bumped into was Lionel Mauvais, director of the Porto Swing Dance School and the organizer of a Swing a Dance event that has been taking place for about 4 years now in Quebec City.
I think what drives a 20-something towards swing, it isn't swing music. I mean, that's not the real driving force.
C'est pas l'élément moteur qui va l'amener à la musique swing. Ce qui va l'amener à la musique swing, c'est pour moi, ce qui se passe en Europe.
I think, at least judging by what's going on in Europe, that the starting point for youth is competition. If you get a 14-year-old to compete, the last thing they care about is the music.
Ils vont tomber amoureux après de la musique. C'est un très bon exemple, William. On l'a fait danser.
Take my son William, for example. We had him dance at 14, and he couldn't care less about the music. It's the visual that really got him. What he saw in competitions were people who danced amazingly, who looked amazing, and he wanted to be the best. Once you've got an objective, that's it. You're hooked.
Voilà, c'est ça. Mais je veux dire, le visuel qu'il a, la vision qu'il a, c'est des gens qui dansent bien. Et lui, des gens qui dansent bien, puis il veut être premier ou deuxième ou troisième, je ne sais pas. Il a un objectif. Du moment que tu arrives à avoir un objectif, ben, tu rentres dedans.
OK, so competition. In a way, I could see that relating to social order and wanting to be the leader of a pack. After all, to use Paul Emile's expression, an alpha male is the best, the most powerful, the one that simply shines and beats everyone else for miles around. Now let's hold that thought while we pass on the mic to Karen and Andrew.
Sweet! I love Andrew and Karen. I mean, Andrew and Karen, they are like the most ubiquitous, craziest, most lovable swing dancers in North America. So let's hear what they've got to say on the topic. They've certainly got the experience of going around the country.
I mean, it was incredibly popular when we started in like the 90s, when it was the mainstream thing.
It was like the rock version of swing dance came out in like the late 90s with like in the era of Swing Kids and when those movies came out, there were 96 and Swingers and like You listen to Big Bag Voodoo Daddy and Cherry Poppin' Daddies and stuff like that, and they didn't have the jazz rhythm to it, but it was still all the jazz instruments, and like there's like this different like rock and roll like, kind of rhythm to it, and so it made it be very, very popular, and that six count kind of became very popular, and then with the Gap ad and everything like that, and so it became a cool thing to do.
Okay, wait a second. Rewind. Did I hear that right?
It was on the radio and top 40.
Yeah, and it was top 40 stuff. And so that was like the a popular reemergence of it. There was still Lindy Hop going on in the 80s and into the 90s, but then like this made it mainstream and highlighted the fact that Lindy Hop existed to the other 99.999% of the world that didn't know about it.
You mean Jump, Jive, and Whale?
Okay.
With Brian Setzer. And there are a bunch of Lindy Hoppers in that video that still dance from LA scene. It won the Video Music Awards for MTV in the 90s, so whatever year that was.
That's really cool. I didn't know that.
And they performed. And
all right, so if you're going to talk about popularity, well then yeah, there definitely is an element of social order, like you had hinted. At least for Andrew there is.
Of course, and probably for many others as well.
Yeah, I guess he proves it right after when he tells me that since the top 40 changed from new swing in the 90s to pop and hip-hop nowadays, well, he's into the new cool thing, because, you know, being cool is important.
I actually don't like jazz that much. I never listen to it unless I have to for classes or unless we're choreographing or something like that. Like, I really don't. I listen to top 40. I listen to, like, Rihanna and...
Okay, but then, Corinna, you're not making sense. The guy's been on the swing dance scene for over a decade. If it's not popular anymore, then there's gotta be some other reason he's still there.
Yeah, I thought the same, but get this. He had an answer to this, too. The guy's a genius, really.
This is my little theory. I have this thing that, like, there's some type of social issues. I think we're all kind of like fucked up socially a little bit. Like for me, I think there's something about this day and age, because it's not the pop scene anymore. It's not like music's on top 40 anymore. There's something else that drags you to this. And for me, I think there's, for the vast majority, so it's not everybody, there's always exceptions, but for the vast majority, there's something attractive about our dance scene. I think it's the accessibility, the ease. Like, you could take a 30-minute lesson and dance on the dance floor with people you don't know. Most people, like, in their college experiences and high school experiences, I don't think they get a level of social interaction that's that easy. And there's a reason why 90% of Lindy Hoppers are computer geeks. There's got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason. I don't think that's just... It's not like swing dance is only popular at technology engineering schools. No, there's something accessible about the ease of social interaction with people, and the fact that you can go and touch girls and dance with them without knowing their name, and they're not knowing your name, and you still get to interact with them. And that's... And, like, I think that that's true. And, like, you can become cool. Like, a computer geek that never was cool can become cool if you become a good dancer. And, like, you become... We're still, like... We're kind of still in high school, where, like, you can become, like, a popular person if you're good at something. And, like... And it's still... Our dance scene's very much like high school. Like, we have a lot of drama. We have a lot of issues. And we have a lot of, like, weirdness and politics and bullshit like that. But that's because we're human. But, like, that's also part of the reason why I think it's comfortable to people, because, like, we've all been through that before, and it seems familiar, and, like, you can become, like, a popular person.
Spot on. Swing's like high school all over again. Okay, but past this theory of the alpha male, we can maybe just generally agree to the idea that dancing is about being with others. And I think to a large extent, that's very true. Many times I see people who come and who just dance with others without even knowing their name week after week. But the real fun starts when you start building friendships and relationships. When you start relating to dancers as people and not just as objects to dance with. Like Frankie said, the clear thing about swing dancing is the music, your partner, and you. You'll never find a better love triangle.
Initially, it was the Cherry Pop and Daddies that had
the
us dancing.
You're hearing right now,
everything started
is
from
Dominique
there.
Dominique Blouin, who has been dancing for a decade both in Lindy Hop and Balboa. She's the organizing of a yearly event called Followology, which has been around for about 5 years in Quebec and Montreal, and which is making its debut this very year in Montpellier. She's also organized many of the swing events in Montreal during her stay here, and she now teaches in Quebec City, so she certainly knows a lot on the topic of why join swing classes and swing events. Just like Andrew, she believes there's something about her social isolation that pushes many people in the 90s to take interest in dancing, and that was very unlike disco and other solo dancing that have been popping up in the previous decades.
Everything that happens in life has to do with what experience we are living at that moment. Back then, we had started getting isolated as a society, and everything just came up at the same time. Swing, tango, flamenco, salsa. I remember my salsa teacher at the time. She was saying, "Oh, there's something new in the air. I can feel it. A wind of salsa." She was really excited. But it really all happened at the same time. No coincidence.
Always being coordinated with other people.
In this podcast, famous trumpetist Wynton Marsalis tries to describe what swinging, that is, playing jazz music to a swinging beat, means to him. Wynton tells us a story from his childhood where he realizes there's just something really special about his community of fellow jazz musicians.
When I was growing up, I'd always noticed jazz musicians. They would hug each other. I mean, maybe people hug more now, but then that was strange. Oh, you're saying, man, you see these guys hugging each other all the time? I couldn't understand it. Sometimes I would just see them a look, a feeling. And that's really where our music is. It's just a feeling. It's a thing that defies verbal. I can't explain that feeling to you. You all know what the feeling is. Every human being on earth understands it, and most animals. It's a feeling that's even deeper than love. It's an empathy. It's a thing.
So in a way, he's figured out that a big component of jamming and playing together is actually being together in the first place.
Definitely. I'm actually impressed he saw that first, before he saw all the rest of the musical theory and the flashy stuff. I think that's something that took me quite a while to realize in swing dancing. I saw the moves first, and only later the relationships that united the best dancers. This being said, I think we can still conclude by saying there are still a few people out there who will love swing first and foremost, because its essence is about our human nature.
I think that whenever something is real and human and expresses something about being human in a way that's beautiful and real, whether, and sometimes it's not always beautiful, but real, that it will be attractive. Like, the truth will always, 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 always be attractive. And I think speaking about truth in an art form can be sometimes difficult, because we're not talking about moral truths or truths, you know, that are like physical laws. We're talking about authenticity, but I think there is such a thing as authentic joy, and I think that's something that's very much present in this music. Authentic joy and authentic sorrow too, but mainly the joy. And I think that, I mean, who doesn't desire that? Like, who doesn't have that as a desire for their life? Joy.
Alicia Ruiz, who is both a professional singer and an outstanding dancer in the swing community, expresses, probably better than anyone ever will, the reason I feel swing dancing drew me to it.
Well, I don't think it can be really only one or the other. I mean, both are true. Both exist. There is a dimension where people enjoy the competitiveness or the degree to which they can become popular and meet people like high school all over again and that type of thing. But there is also this other dimension that's got to do with your love for the art form itself. I mean, you cannot hug a dance move. The music, the timing, the rhythm. You can't hug that stuff. But when you find someone who sees it, feels it, does it in a way that you can relate to, you can express your love for the art form in your relationship to this person. Because that guy or that girl, you can hug.
I think Marcellus says it best. This is out of a podcast he issued a few years back, and which you can listen to. It's called the Achievements 2008 Symposium.
Through the arts, we testify to an existence, to our existence. And if the testifying be powerful, insightful, and true enough, that art speaks across epochs of the depth and value of the human experience.
Didier Jean-François is a graduate of McGill University in Science and has an MBA from the University of Notre Dame. He is co-owner of the Swinging Air Force, the Studio 88 Swing, as well as the Canadian Swing Championships. He has been dancing swing since 1998.
Corina Paraskiv is a graduate of the John Molson School of Business in Commerce. She also holds a master's degree in global management from Queen's University. She is responsible for several community multimedia-based projects, including the highly successful Montreal Shim Sham Flash Mob. She is a swing dancer since 2008 and a member currently of the Swinging Air Force Flying Charleston and boot camp teams.
This episode of the Swingonomics podcast is supported by Swing-A-Dance, the dance event in Quebec City. You can now receive our latest podcast without searching for it. Just subscribe to us on iTunes and we'll deliver our next editions right into your smartphone or MP3 player.
The Swingonomics podcast would like to thank all the people that made this episode possible. Our guests, Andrew Typen, Karen Turman, Lionel Mauvais, Dominique Blouin, Alicia Ruiz, as well as our contributors, Paul-Émile Baudet, and our dubbers, Shane Lillian Braveman and Corinne Burr. Shane is a swing dancer from Lake Placid, New York. In her daily life, she is also a Spanish teacher, and she has been dancing swing for 10 years. Corinne Burr lives in Ohio. She has been dancing swing for 4 years, and during her trip to Montreal, she has joined the Swinging Air Force Flying Charleston team. She has studied to become a translator. We would also like to thank the artists that provided the music for this episode. Kurt Boom, Goddess Sen, Emory, Stefano Moccini, and Abacus 3, all under royalty-free licenses.